Aloha and welcome to the Hawaii Family Forum Triple F Podcast. Triple F stands for Faith, Family, and Freedom. Hawaii Family Forum has worked alongside the faith-based community in Hawaii since 1998. Join us on our journey as we work toward a Hawaii where God is honored, religious freedom flourishes, families thrive, and life is cherished.
What you are about to hear is a recording that was made of a phone call that was made directly to Planned Parenthood of the Great Northwest and the Hawaiian Islands. We have not edited this in any way, but we'd like you to hear exactly what your daughter or son would hear if they actually called Planned Parenthood because they were curious about how to get an abortion. Stay tuned.
Thank you for calling Planned Parenthood of the Great Northwest and the Hawaiian Islands. Please wait while your call is being transferred to our contact center. Thank you for calling Planned Parenthood of the Great Northwest and the Hawaiian Islands.
Para continuar en español, oprime el número uno.
If this is a life-threatening emergency, please hang up and dial 911. To schedule an appointment, please press 0 or stay on the line. You may also schedule an appointment anytime online at www.ppgnhi.org. For information about our abortion service, press 2. For patient billing inquiry.
Both the Abortion Co. and In Health Center abortions are offered at Planned Parenthood of the Great Northwest. Procedures are confidential and performed in a respectful, non-judgmental manner by experienced physicians and trained professional staff. The Abortion Co., using mifepristone, also known as Mifeprex, the medication abortion, or RU486, is available to women as early as 5 weeks and up to 9 weeks, or 63 days. The in-health center abortion is available to women who are between 5 weeks and up to 13 weeks and 6 days from the first day of their last menstrual period. The pregnancy will be confirmed and accurately dated using a vaginal ultrasound. Women meet with a trained professional to review their health history and determine a birth control plan. Lab testing, including Rh factor and anemia screening, will be performed. Health center staff will determine if other lab tests are needed based on health history. Women also meet with a patient educator to review the abortion process and have all of their questions answered. Counseling referrals are available for any woman who would like to discuss her options. Please let our staff know if you are interested in this service, and they will be happy to direct you to the appropriate resources and referrals. If you are interested in scheduling an abortion, we strongly recommend that you listen to specific information relating to each service. This will enable you to schedule the procedure most suitable for you. To listen to additional Abortion Co. information, please press 1 now. To listen to additional in-house center abortion information, press 2 now. To reach a representative during contact center business hours, press 3 to return to the main menu. To repeat this recording, press 9. To be eligible for the Abortion Co., women must be no more than 9 weeks based on the first day of your last normal menstrual period, and you must agree to the following requirements. 1. Return for follow-up visits until released from care by Planned Parenthood of the Great Northwest. 2. Not to travel outside of the home health center area until released from care by Planned Parenthood of the Great Northwest. 3. To have an in-health center abortion if the abortion pill doesn't end the pregnancy. The abortion pill is successful in approximately 97% of our patients. 4. We must be able to contact patients directly by phone and mail, and they must have access to emergency medical care. 5. Have a responsible adult that is aware of your abortion and could assist you if necessary. The abortion pill procedure is accomplished by taking a combination of two medications. The first is taken orally at the health center. The second is self-administered at home 24 to 48 hours after the first. The second drug, misoprostol, is used by placing 4 tablets between the cheek and the gum and allowing them to dissolve. After taking the second medication, it may take up to 24 hours for the pregnancy to be expelled. We recommend that the woman have a support person with her. If she chooses not to, she must have someone not more than 15 minutes away who can provide emergency transportation if needed. Women must be free from responsibility for a minimum of 24 hours, but preferably for 48 hours. That means taking time off from work or school and arranging from childcare. Cramping and bleeding may begin anywhere from 1 hour to 17 hours after the second medication. Women report a range of experiences, including strong cramps, heavy bleeding, and passing clots. Women may experience nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea. The heavy bleeding and intense cramping are usually over after 4 to 5 hours, but bleeding can continue for several weeks. Things to consider in deciding if the abortion pill is right for you include knowing that the abortion will happen at home and not being able to predict exactly what your experience will be. If you are calling during regular business hours and would like to schedule an appointment, please press 3 to return to the main menu. To repeat this recording, press 9.
Aloha, everybody. This is Eva Andrade. I am the president of Hawaii Family Forum, and we're here on our weekly podcast. And today I have a very special friend and guest, a woman who I've known for many years, actually. And I'm very proud and privileged to sit here and chat with her today. And this is Janet Grace Hopeberg. Janet, welcome to our program today.
Aloha. Thank you for having me. And I should say likewise, it's a privilege to be sitting here with a woman who has been on the front line of the battle for the causes that we so passionately hold dear to our hearts. So thank you for having me.
You are definitely a woman who has been in the trenches. And so people that are listening to this podcast, you're going to want to stay tuned because you're going to hear some things in the podcast today that you're not going to hear anywhere else in the state of Hawaii. So make sure you're near that pause button. This podcast will be available on our website. So if you miss it, you'll be able to go back. We encourage you to send this podcast out to all your friends. Today, we are going to be talking about the state of life in Hawaii. And Janet, tell everybody a little bit about who you are. And I know you're a new married woman, and so we'll get to that too. But tell people why you're here today. Why did you agree to do this podcast?
For a number of reasons. I think that ongoing education, revisiting our history, where we come from and how we've progressed and where we are today on the sanctity of life issue is really critical. To encourage people to stay engaged, you know, in the advocacy for the right to life for all people, both born and unborn.
And this is no strange issue for you. I mean, you've been in this battle for a very long time. So how did you get into fighting for life?
You know, that's a great question. Back in early 2000, I was invited to a prayer vigil at one of the churches, and there were 4 prayer points, and one of the prayer points was abortion. And I grew up in an era where when abortion was legalized in 1973, there wasn't that landmark decision to decriminalize, you know, killing unborn children in the womb. And you didn't hear a lot of pushback at that time on that legalization. And so, and I was still young, I was in my early teens. And so I didn't really know a lot about the reality and the real cruel procedure of what abortion was, that it wasn't taking a blob of tissue or killing a product of conception or eliminating an unwanted fetus. You know, it didn't quite resonate with me. I just thought, okay, it's legal, like most people. Must be okay.
Well, of course, what society was dealing with at that time was the whole idea of sex, drugs, and rock and roll, right? So people our generation that was growing up around that time, you're right. We were already being raised by society to think that open sexuality and doing whatever feels good is something that you should embark on. And so it makes sense that as you're being raised at this time, you'd be thinking, it's just another thing, right? It's just another decision for a woman to make.
Right, exactly. So, you know, that's a great point. And so, you know, as I was in this prayer vigil, they had asked everybody, you know, they had sort of forewarned everybody that we're going to show an abortion video of a third trimester abortion. You can stay or leave the room. And for some reason, I stayed.
This wasn't Silent Scream, was it?
It was not Silent Scream. It was something blues. I forget the title of it.
I know we have some old-time listeners that are going, oh my gosh.
Yeah, I have to go back through my archives. But anyways, it was riveting. I stayed in there, and I was horrified. I was horrified to see a live human being cut limb by limb and pulled out of its mother's womb. It was so surreal to me. I was just frozen. I was almost paralyzed. And so we went around after the video, we went around the room and everybody prayed, and I was fighting back tears. I was like in literal medical shock. And after the prayer time was finished, I went to the person that had presented that video, Steve Holk. Unbeknownst to me, was the founder of a really precious pregnancy center in Kaneohe. It's called the Aloha Pregnancy Care and Counseling Center, and is still in operation today. And I just said, Steve, I'm just stunned. What can I do to help? I mean, are there really teenage girls? It's bad enough that adult women are having abortions, but, you know, is it really that bad? What can I do to help?
I think this is a good point that I want to make sure we get back to as we start moving through this podcast, Janet, is that we understand that adult women are out there arguing that they have a right to make a choice on the decision that they make in regards to their pregnancy. But I can see the passion as I'm sitting here talking to you that we're talking about young girls who are not even old enough in some cases to get an aspirin from their teacher at school. And they're availing themselves to these services in Planned Parenthood facilities in many cases without parental notice.
Exactly. And if you go back, you know, back in the 70s, early 80s, you know, suction, aspiration, abortion was the way to go. It was quick. It was cheap. It was, affordable, economical, you know, in demand for teenagers. And there's so many components to the teen pregnancy, side of this debate.
And would you say the access today is worse? Because now not only can they do these things without parental consent, they can get the emergency contraception or the morning after pill. They can get that right now, right?
Over the counter. Correct.
So right now, we could have parents that are listening to this podcast right now whose daughter took this over-the-counter pill last week.
And it's very likely that it has happened because I do work in post. I'm a facilitator, a post-abortion facilitator. I do counsel young girls quite often that find themselves possibly pregnant or facing, pregnancy, outside of marriage, and are, re-traumatized again. Because the truth is that young teen girls don't find themselves pregnant. They get pregnant because of other dynamics that are going on in their lives. They're struggling at home. They aren't having that strong communication with their mom and their dad. And this is not a judgment on anyone. This is just a reality of where we are in life and society, that especially in Hawaii, we have a cost of living that is through the roof, one of the highest in the country. So mommies and daddies are working two or three jobs. You got a mom being the soccer mommy in the van, hauling the kids in. You got the 4, 5, 6-year-old and then the teen daughter, hitting, 8th grade, high school. Who do they turn to?
When Planned Parenthood does their multi-million-dollar campaign, their public relations campaign, and they're telling people that they're encouraging parents to have these conversations with their kids, in fact, what they're doing is encouraging teenagers to not have the conversation with their parents.
This is critical. This is critical for your listeners to really grasp that Planned Parenthood's whole motive is to malign and twist the truth and to package their information and resources in a way that is welcoming and sounds like it's going to help and be positive to this overall teen pregnancy crisis that we have. But in fact, what it is, it's a way of undermining parents and starting to slowly indoctrinate young kids and children into a very unhealthy, harmful, damaging lifestyle. And once they get a taste of that, because there's such a large group of them here in Hawaii, they feel like now that they belong, that they found their place in their peer community. And so it emboldens them, and it sadly edifies them, and they feel empowered.
So I want to, because I know that people are wanting to know the nuts and bolts of this, right? They have young members of their family that are in public school or private school here in Hawaii, or if they don't have someone in their family that's young, they know someone who's young,
sure.
Whether it's an niece or a nephew. So let's get to the nuts and bolts of this. How do teens today here in the state of Hawaii get access to contraception, and how easy is it, and what type of contraception can they get access to?
Whew. Okay, we've got how much time? You know, and it's so sad, but you gotta laugh because you're just gonna cry.
I want parents to understand that right now, as we are having this discussion somewhere on this island,
kids are passing it around in school bathrooms right now. They're passing around condoms. They're passing around the Plan B, the morning after pill. They sell it in the school gym locker rooms, behind the bleachers at a football game. I'm not making this up. I've had young girls in 7th and 8th grade look me in the eyeball and tell me and hand me the morning after pill in packages, in little Ziploc baggies, saying, I got this in school, I got this in the bathroom, I got this from this friend. Emergency contraceptive is available over the counter without a prescription for anyone 17 or older here in Hawaii that has an ID. That could be a guy, that could be a 17-year-old male, a female, without question. And here's a thing that I think is really important to know about these pills. These pills are stronger than the dosages of the chemicals that are used in birth control. So you have you have a 17, 18-year-old getting the pill over the counter, giving it to a minor, say a 17, 16-year-old, okay? These kids are not fully developed physically. They're still going through hormonal changes. Many of these girls are getting their periods younger. So it really hormonally can really affect them in a very adverse way.
And I find this fascinating when I think about this as someone who is raising a 14-year-old young man in my home. What I find fascinating about this is when I go to the doctor, my doctor, and I'm sure it's the same for you, will go through the list of all the medications that I am currently taking, right?
Great point,
and
Eva.
And she will say to me, okay, how is this particular medication, you know, how is your system dealing with this particular medication? Is it, you know, are you having these side effects? If you are, my pharmacist, who I use the same pharmacist all the time, they have a list of all these medications I'm taking. They know what will counteract whatever medication I'm taking. I have this at my fingertips. My 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old child is not going to have that if they have their friend offering them these pills. So our kids, our precious keiki, have no idea if this pill they are taking is going to work in a manner against some kind of medication they may already be taking, or maybe that they could be allergic to. I mean, are there cases, Janet, of teenagers ending up in the hospital because of adverse reaction to these pills?
Yes. You know, and these are great points. And here's the thing. There are no parental, at the very least, notification laws for minor teens to even have an abortion here in Hawaii. So let alone parental consent to give permission for your minor daughter to have an abortion. Yet, as you had mentioned, we have to give the school nurse permission to give our daughter or son an aspirin, right? Our kids aspirins or any type of medicine. So
now, to be fair, so that I don't want any listeners writing and emailing, a child right now or a teenager cannot go into their school health room and get the birth control pill, right? I mean, here in Hawaii, that's not allowed. Or is it?
Okay, here's the thing. It's not, to my knowledge, it is not allowed.
I hear a butt coming.
However, I have had a school in the state call me when I was working at a pregnancy resource center and ask me if we supplied birth control in condoms to schools. And I just said, absolutely not. And, you know, I couldn't get any further in the conversation with that teacher. So I have been told by girls to my face, 15-year-old, that a teacher in another school took her to have an abortion.
Now, that I've heard that, not necessarily taking them to have an abortion, but I have heard stories of teens. And these are pro-life teens who are doing their own like investigative reporting in their own schools have said that they have had counselors take them to either get birth control or directed them where to get birth control.
Correct.
So we need to understand that even if they can't physically get it on campus, they are being directed by adults. And I want, again, listener, dear listener, think about this for a moment. We have lawsuits across this nation from organizations that are saying, how dare these faith-based people push their belief system off on my kid or my job? But we actually have adults who are helping our kids make choices that are contrary to what we believe. And that is something that we need to take very, very seriously. Dear parents, please take a moment to think about the conversations you're having with your kid about choices that could be dangerous to them. And that is their sexual behavior, which is very prevalent in this time.
You know, and here's the thing, Eva. When you have an organization is massive as Planned Parenthood, not just in the country, but internationally, that is having billions of dollars funneled to them to foist their deadly agenda on our children, we wonder how these kids are getting the birth control, how they're getting condoms. They can go to any Planned Parenthood here and walk in and get a condom and get the birth control pill.
Well, we definitely, we are moving to a point in this podcast where we're almost to the end of this first part. And just, dear listener, please understand that Janet and I, as we were talking before the podcast, we realized that this podcast is probably going to be much longer than just one. But Janet's point is well taken. And I want to dedicate some time to the fact that many of you have noticed in the paper, the first report was in November of last year, that Planned Parenthood of Northwest.
The Greater Northwest.
Greater Northwest actually purchased a building here in Hawaii'i for $8.3 million. And at the time when they were interviewed, they said that their priority was going to be education and advocacy. And anyone who's been involved in these issues understand that education means more work in the community, especially with regards to our public schools. Advocacy meaning at the state capitol. And Hawaii is one of the, we don't get a very high life grade by the Americans United for Life, do we?
No, we're at the bottom of the barrel.
So, dear listener, as we move toward the end of part one, we want you to stay tuned. I'm going to keep Janet here for as long as we need to go. But for right now, let's end with this part one. And when I come back with Janet next week, we're going to be talking about legislation here in Hawaii, the history of abortion laws. We're going to talk a little bit about assisted suicide. And then we're probably going to be back for a part three and maybe even a part four. So thank you, Janet, for sitting with me for this first part. And we'll see you all again in 1 week.
Thank you, Eva.
Mahalo.
Mahalo.
Aloha, this is Eva Andrade, president of Hawaii Family Forum, and we are pleased that you were able to join us on this weekly Triple F podcast. We hope you'll join us next week. Take care and God bless.